We present Doctor at Large. Adapted for radio by Ray Cooney from the original novel by Richard Gordon, it stars Richard Briers as Simon Sparrow, with guest stars Stanley Baxter as Dr. Hockett and Joan Sims as Dora. Episode 8, In General Practice.
Two pints of best, please. Now let's have a look at you, Simon Oliver Sparrow. Home is the sailor, home from the sea. Yes, put on a bit of weight. Jolly good. Got some colour in your cheeks, too.
Oh, thanks.
Basically as ugly as ever. Well, come on. Tell Tony all. What was it like being at sea, huh? The birds, the dollies, the girls in every port. You got your ration, did you?
You know perfectly well, Tony. When it comes to women, I'm accident prone.
Well, heaven knows, wild love, they seem to fall for you like a ton of bricks.
Maybe that's the trouble. They all want to mother me or feel sorry for me or something. I think I'll set up a practice in a monastery.
Aren't you going back to sea again?
Not likely.
But if you're looking for a job, old love, I think you may be in luck.
Well, I'll have to find one pretty soon. I'm not exactly flush.
All found and 15 quid a week. Not bad, eh? Offered to me just this morning, but I explained I was otherwise engaged.
What doing?
Oh, I didn't tell you, did I? I'm starting a little practice in Surrey.
Last I heard of you, you were thinking of opening a maternity clinic.
Yes, I know. I decided that was rather like carrying colts to Newcastle.
Yeah.
No, this job I had to turn down is in Aberdeen. Well, the practice is in a little village about 10 miles outside Aberdeen. Very pleasant, apparently. Chap there looking for a temporary junior for a few weeks.
Doesn't sound all that exciting.
Well, at least you'll be out of circulation as far as women are concerned. The only thing to make a pass or two there will be the Highland cattle.
Hey.
Ah, hello. Good evening.
What can I do for you?
Dr. Hockett?
You can't be. I'm Dr. Hockett.
No, I'm Sparrow.
Oh, is that a fact?
Can I come in?
Why?
Why?
Why do you want to come in?
It's raining out here.
If you're looking for shelter, young man, there's a pub up the road.
No, I'm joining you here.
Well, why is that?
I'm being soaked.
Yes, you are, aren't you?
Look, I'm Sparrow.
You've already said that.
Well, I'm your temporary junior.
Oh, are you? I thought they were sending up a fellow by the name of Bentley or something.
Benskin. Look, this rain.
Benskin, yes, that's it. What happened to him?
He's opening up a little place in Surrey.
You mean operating on somebody?
Can I come in?
You don't look like a doctor.
I'm sorry.
No, you'd better come in.
Thanks.
Hey, you can hang your coat there.
Cool. It's rather cold, isn't it? I'll keep it on if you don't mind.
I thought it was remarkably warm for the time of the year.
Well, it strikes a little chilly up here after London.
Nonsense.
Do you think we can have a fire on or something?
I hope you're not sickening for anything.
So do I.
I want to get my money's worth out of you.
Oh. Yes, well, possibly if the fire...
Don't you wear wool next to your skin, Doctor?
No, I can't say I do, actually.
Well, that's much more hygienic than filling the house with the fumes from burning coal.
Well, I thought possibly you might have an electric fire.
Electric? Do you know the price of electricity?
Not offhand, no.
After surgery tomorrow, go and buy yourself some woolly vests.
Yes.
I might have a couple of old ones I could sell you.
Thanks.
Did you bring a bicycle with you?
Bicycle? No.
Well, I've a widespread practice. I suppose the walking will do you good.
You don't have a car? No, I suppose not.
I have a bicycle, young man. Car, waste of money, that would be... We could make an arrangement by which you have part use of the bicycle.
Thanks.
And I'll make the appropriate deduction from your salary. Tuppence a mile. You've not been in general practice before, Doctor.
No, sir, I qualified earlier this year.
Aye, well, the work here is hard, but the experience will be sufficient reward in itself. Would you like a cup of tea?
Well, I'm not sure I can afford it.
I don't charge for tea, Doctor.
Well, I'm only joking.
I see. A funny man.
Actually, I'd love a cup.
I'll ring for Dora. Your skin looks a wee bit burnt, Doctor.
Oh, yes, I just got back from a trip to Australia. Ship's doctor.
Ship's doctor. I hope you won't be bringing any of those habits to Aberdeenshire.
What habits?
Sailor's habits, drinking and the like.
Oh, well, sir, you'd be a king.
I thought when I saw you at the door there was something sinister about you. Come in. Oh, Dora, put the kettle on for a cup of tea, will you?
Righto.
Oh, and Dora, this is my new junior, Dr. Bird.
Oh, pleased to meet you, Dr. Bird. I'll bung the kettle on right away.
Dora sounds as though she's a long way from home.
She's a Londoner, if that's what you mean. Oh, I didn't ask you if you wanted anything to eat, Doctor.
Well, I hadn't eaten since lunchtime on the train, you see, and I think the old tummy could do with something.
Well, there might possibly be some sardines left over from lunch.
Miss McGinnis called. She's in the hall. Something about a certificate.
Oh, damnation. I'd better see her, I suppose. I won't be a moment, Doctor.
That's all right, sir.
Oh, and Dora, have we any sardines left over from lunch?
I'm afraid not.
Pity, pity. Open another tin, then, will you? Serve Dr. Bird with half of them.
Mean old basket.
Dora!
Well?
You mustn't talk about Dr. Hookie like that.
He makes Scrooge seem like Father Christmas.
Dora, please.
Here, you're an half young.
Am I?
Yes.
Well, I'm not exactly in the cradle, you know.
Oh, go on. I bet you're younger than what I am. The doctor's had some real old fogies, I can tell you.
Has he?
Not half. Old Dr. Higgins was the last one. Then there was Dr. O'Toole. Real old dodderer he was. Then there was Dr. Aziz and Dr. Thing and Dr. Wu.
He's had a hell of a lot of assistants.
How hundreds of them. Dr. Wu used to burn incense.
Did he?
You won't be doing that, though, will you?
Not very often, no. Mind you, if it gets any colder, I might burn anything.
Oh, the old basket watches that sort of thing. The light's switched off at the main at 11. It's extra if you've got a wireless or a shaver, and if you bath, it's a shilling a go.
Anything else?
Let's see, you pay your own laundry, and you pay for all your telephone calls.
Well, that's fair enough, telephone calls.
Yeah, but he adds 20% to cover the rental charge.
Oh, he certainly seems a little on the tight side.
Oh, not all.
You're a Londoner, aren't you?
How did you get?
Well, you've got a sophisticated air about you. Have you been up here long?
Oh, near on 4 years. Enough to give you the screaming abdabs with all these old fogies about the place.
Yeah.
Still, with a young fella like you around, it might be different.
What? Now, Dora, now, don't. You know, I'm up here for the work, you know, and...
Oh, we'll see what we can arrange, shall we?
Well, that's very, very kind.
Well, you've got to relax sometime, Dr. Bird.
Yes. No, I'm Dr. Sparrow.
Oh, I thought...
Yes, Dr. Hockett seems to get a bit of a muddle over my name.
Oh, blimey, well, he's over 60, you know. What a bloke to have for an husband.
Husband? Dr. Hockett isn't married, is he?
Oh, didn't you know?
No.
Oh, of course he's married.
Good Lord, being married to him can't be much of a joke.
Oh, more like a flaming pantomime.
Mrs. Hockett not in this evening?
Of course I am.
I beg your pardon?
Well, I'm Mrs. Hockett.
You're Mrs. I'm most awfully sorry.
So am I, darling.
But, I mean, I've been saying it was dreadful. I do apologize. The things I said. The things you said.
I know.
You called him an old basket.
Oh, I can do better than that.
Now, really, Miss Hockett, it was just, you know, I had no idea. But you're so much younger than the doctor. I do wish you'd told me sooner. I thought you were the maid or something.
Oh, you're going on a bit, aren't you?
Good night, Mrs. McGinnis.
Look out, the old skinflint's coming back. Look, I'll get your sardines, and don't forget, we're going to have that chinwag.
Now, look, really, I mustn't get involved.
Wretched Mrs. McGinnis.
Oh, nice to see you back.
That sort of thing will be your job in future, Doctor. What's your name?
I'm Bird, Dr. Skinflint.
Dr. Sparrow.
Get Dr. Sparrow's tea, will you, Dora? Having a wee chat with my wife, were you, Dr. Sparrow?
No, she was chatting me up, talking.
Well, she's out of the room, we can have a talk on professional matters.
Oh, very well, far away. I'll take my coat off if you don't mind, suddenly warming up in here.
First of all, your duties, you will see the National Health patients twice a day at the surgery in Aberdeen.
Aberdeen? But that's over 10 miles.
Correct. The first surgery is from 8:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. and the second is from 4:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Oh, and don't forget, if you use the bicycle, it'll be...
Tons a mile.
Also, you will be responsible for the night calls. I don't go out at night.
Well, I suppose that's fair enough, sir. You've got to look after yourself.
I've got to look after my wife.
Your wife?
She's very young.
Oh, yes, she is.
And very attractive.
Attractive? I wouldn't say that.
Wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, both attractive. Both, but not to me, you see. Not my type. I like my women...
Women?
Well, if I were interested in women. I like one who was tall and thin with a flat... she's not like a hobby. I mean, she's short and plump and she's undulating. Well, that's all clear, Mr. Hockett. Dr. Hockett, sorry. I do the Aberdeen surgery twice a day and all night calls.
That's it? After that, your time's your own. I see the rest of the patients and the private patients, such as they are, here.
Yes, sir.
Oh, here is the duplicate key to the drug cupboard over there. There are only two keys in the house. Please see that the cupboard is always locked.
Of course, sir.
Don't think it wise for Dora to have access to it. As I said, she's very young.
Yes, of course.
As we are to work closely together, Doctor, I think it best for me to confide in you now.
Confide in me?
It may come as a shock to you to hear that before Dora became my wife, she was my daily maid.
Really?
Yes.
I'd never have guessed that, sir.
My early days, marriage somehow seemed beyond my means.
I know how you felt, sir.
But after Dora had been working for me for a year or so, I realized...
That you were in love with her?
No, that it would be more economical to marry her. I realize, of course, that she's not in love with me or anything foolish like that.
I'm sure she's very fond of you, Dr. Basket. Hook it.
Point is, Dr. Sparrow, I wouldn't like the harmony of our existence to start.
Quite right, sir, quite right. That's the spirit. After all, you are married, aren't you? I mean, you are her husband.
Yes, Doctor, I am her husband. All your predecessors were either in middle age or elderly, so I never worried about any hanky-panky there.
No, I don't hold hanky-panky for the elderly. Definitely not.
You are not elderly.
No, sir.
You see what I'm driving at?
Well, I think I... Yes, but I can assure you I know my place. And so does my hanky-panky.
Good.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Hanky Hockey.
On the table with it, Dora.
Ah, there we are. You sit there, Dr. Sparrow.
Well, boy, oh boy. 4½ sardines. Well, tummy does it. Morning.
Oh, morning, Dr. Sparrow.
Morning, Mrs. Hoggett. Morning, sir. Oh, what are we going to kick off with then, eh? The old bacon and eggs and the old fried bread, eh?
Your breakfast is there, Dr. Sparrow. Porridge.
Porridge? I'm afraid I don't eat porridge, sir.
Lunch, then, is at 1 o'clock.
Really, Dr. Sparrow, you'll get used to it.
Will I?
You shouldn't overload the gastric absorption early in the day.
Shall I pour you some tea, Dr. Sparrow?
Actually, in the morning, I prefer... Yes, tea will do me fine, yes.
You don't take sugar, I'm sure, Doctor?
Well, I can do without it at a pinch. Thank you, Mrs. Hockett.
I'm so glad. Extremely unhealthy sugar. Pure carbohydrate. Surplus carbohydrate in the diet leads to obesity, and then what?
You get fat.
Quite correct, my dear.
Well, I think a girl should have something to get hold of, don't you, Dr. Sparrow?
Sorry. Went down the wrong way.
Nobody likes skinny girls.
Dr. Sparrow does.
Yes, I like beanpoles.
He knows that obesity is the cause of arteriosclerosis, and that in turn causes heart failure. And heart failure is fatal. Is that not so, Dr. Sparrow?
Definitely. Taking sugar in the tea is suicidal.
Oh, it's a bit nippy this morning, Angus. There seems to be a storm brewing. Ought I to make a fire?
Are you cold, Dr. Sparrow?
Not me, no, sir. I've got 4 pullovers on.
I'm feeling real shivery. Ooh, look at me shaking. Ooh.
I don't think that you should shake yourself like that in front of Dr. Sparrow.
Well, all right, but you can wobble as much, I mean, shake as much as you like.
How did you sleep last night, Doctor?
Alone. I mean, nothing. Fine, no, it's not too bad. There seem to be a few cold breezes coming from somewhere.
Breezes?
Drafts of fresh air, which are so beneficial during the sleeping hours. I see you've got the doctor's usual number of morning letters, sir.
Mm-hmm.
The daily post bag, crammed with advertisements, free samples, and what have you.
Yes, that's correct.
This green bottle here, look at it. Dr. Farmer's Fertility Food. That's one I'd throw right in the wizard basket.
As a matter of fact, I keep all the free samples that are sent to me. I have several hundred in my consulting room through there.
Well, if I was a patient, I wouldn't accept one if it was given to me.
What do you mean, given? I sell them.
You what?
My private patients are very glad of them. Dr. Farmer's Fertility Food will probably fetch me at least a guinea. Nobody appreciates what they don't pay for. That's surely recognized as one of the evils of the National Health Service. Clear away, will you, Dora?
Well, I think Dr. Sparrow is quite right.
Oh, do you, my dear?
Yes, I do. It's all wrong to be given something for free and then charge for it.
Surprising the number of doctors who have sinned. Isn't it, Dr. Sparrow?
Sinned? You mean sort of Sexually?
No. I mean who have committed murder.
Murder?
There was Crippen, Palmer the poisoner, Neil Cream in London, and many more. Do you remember the Ruxton case?
I can't say I do.
The doctor found his wife having an affair with a younger man.
Really?
He cut them up in the bath.
How very messy.
It was. I think surgery or poisoning are the usual methods employed by members of our profession.
Yes, well, I suppose, you know, if you're a doctor and you want to murder anybody, I mean, it must be sort of tempting to have all the stuff around to go murdering people with.
Exactly. More tea?
No, thanks.
Well, you ought to be getting along. Will you be wanting to use my bicycle to get you to Aberdeen?
Thank you.
Tuppence a mile, remember?
I remember how many miles I do.
Well, don't bother. There's a milometer attached to the front wheel.
My next patient, please. Come on, next. Come on, hurry along. Oh, he's even too mean to have a flaming bell.
Good luck. Where's the doctor?
I am the doctor.
I mean the real doctor.
I am real, madam, I assure you.
Are you?
Do you want to see my diploma?
No, thanks. You're Hockett's new boy, are you?
I am Dr. Hockett's most recent assistant, yes.
Right. Well, get me particulars down. My name is Mrs. Agatha Russell, born 1920, Bradford, married 1943, moved to Aberdeen, 39 Leamington Road. Can't say I like the idea of you fiddling about with me.
I'm sorry. The idea doesn't appeal to me all that much either.
What do you mean by that?
Look, I'm a very busy morning, madam, and there are still half a dozen patients waiting outside. What can I do for you?
I want another bottle.
What sort of medicine is this?
The red stuff, you know.
I mean, what do you take it for?
The wind.
You suffer from the wind?
Of course not. Haven't had the wind for years.
Then why do you take the medicine?
To make sure I don't get the ruddy wind again.
I'm afraid I can't prescribe any more medicine. You're as sound as a bell. You don't need it. Good morning, then.
But I must have my medicine.
You don't need it.
Of course I need it.
But please, it's nothing to do with me anyway. It's ministry regulation. If it was up to me, you could have a dozen bottles a day.
I want my medicine.
Look, dash it, madam. Do you want to unbalance the budget and ruin the country all on account of your wind? You haven't got wind anyway. Now, please be reasonable.
Don't you touch me. I'll have you up for assault and battery. I know my rights. I've paid my national health like everyone else.
Kindly leave the surgery.
I'll send my boy round to see you. He'll report you. He will. He's the secretary of his union council.
I don't care. He's Bugs Bunny.
You can be fired. You know that, don't you? For not giving me proper service. Dock it from your salary, they will.
Tell them to dock it from Hockett. Good morning.
My boy will soon put you straight, young man, if I don't get my medicine.
But I don't care what you or your boy do. Will you kindly leave?
Oh, you'll be hearing more from me.
Well, if it's wind, then you can have your medicine. Come on, Dr. Hockett, it's me. Are you there? Oh, damn, Dr. Hockett with his lousy practice. Damn.
Oh. Hello.
Oh, good evening, Mrs. Hockett.
Well, don't just stand there then. Come on in.
Yes, of course.
Here, give us your coat.
Thanks. Oh, where's Dr. Hockett?
He's out.
Out?
On a night call.
I thought he didn't do night calls.
Well, you were out, weren't you? Besides, it was a private patient, the vicar. Let's go into the living room, shall we?
Oh, haven't I got you out of bed?
Why?
Well, isn't that a nightdress you're wearing?
Oh, yes. No, I've just been curled up on the sofa with Peter Chaney.
Who's he? Oh, Peter Chaney. Good Lord, I say it's nice and warm in here.
Yeah, smashing, isn't it?
How about a blazing fire going?
Oh, I know, it's quite safe. Whenever he goes to the vicar, he never gets back till breakfast time.
Why's that?
The vicar spends all night praying, just in case.
What's it? A 2-pound box of chocolates?
Yeah, have one.
Thanks. Ah, walnut cream, my favourite.
Yeah, it's a pity the vicar only gets sick twice a year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pour yourself a glass of port.
Port to Mars, I say. Perhaps we should offer up a prayer for the vicar as well. Well, cheers.
Here's to you.
Oh.
Yeah, it hits the spot, doesn't it?
Certainly does. Just what I needed after that blasted Mrs. Russell.
Come and sit down.
No, thank you, Mrs. Hockett.
Dora.
No, thank you, Mrs. Dora Hockett. No. I don't feel like sitting down.
What do you feel like, then?
Standing up.
Do you know what I feel like?
No.
You do?
No, I don't.
You do?
I don't.
Yes.
I beg your pardon?
guess what I feel like?
A nutty crunch?
Actually, I'll tell you what I do like.
But I'm sorry you didn't really. Now, please don't get up. No, go back to the city.
I like a drop of the old, raw alcohol.
Raw alcohol?
Yes. Used to put in the port. It gives it a kick like a mule. Angus keeps it in the drug cupboard there. It's lovely stuff. It makes me all woozy and sort of couldn't care less.
Definitely not. Besides, I haven't got the key to the cupboard.
Oh, yes, you have. You always give it to the assistant.
Well, you're still not having any.
Oh, go on. I've shared my chocolates and port with you, darling.
Now, the feet and the Mrs. Hockey, don't put your arms around my neck.
Oh, go on.
I think we'll both go to bed.
Lovely.
No,
all right, I'll go first, and then you creep in beside
me.
Oh, look, don't you want a bit of fun?
Stop it, please, look, please stop kissing me. Look, I've had a very tiring day. My resistance is low.
Smashing.
Your husband might be back any minute.
He's praying with the vicar.
You don't understand, woman. What will the hypocrisy say?
Well, don't tell him, darling.
If you stop messing around with me and go to bed by yourself, I'll liven up your port. Not much, and just this once.
Well, I won't promise not to have another go at you some other time.
I'll be prepared.
All right. You can bring it up to me.
And no messing about?
Of course not, darling. It's in the green bottle.
Green bottle? Right, off you go, then upstairs.
Why can't I wait here?
I want to make sure you're upstairs and in bed. Now, go on.
All right, don't be long.
Oh, wretched girl. Smashing figure, though. I must be mad giving her raw alcohol instead of me. Now, where's the key to the drugs cupboard? Here we are. Ah, nicely open now. Good heavens, I've never seen so many bottles and jars in my life. Old miser. A green bottle. Where the dickens is it? If you had a decent bulb in the place, maybe I could see something. Ah, this is it.
Can I help, Doctor?
Ah!
Looking for something?
No, I found it. I'll put it in my coat pocket for the morning. Thank you. So glad you're back. Good night.
Dr. Sparrow?
Yes, sir?
You've forgotten to lock the drugs cupboard.
What drugs cupboard? Oh, yes. Silly me. Oh, I think I'll turn in now.
I think you'll stay right where you are, Dr. Sparrow.
Yes, of course.
Well?
Very well, thank you.
Blazing fire, box of chocolates, bottle of port. I'm waiting, Doctor.
I'm so sorry. Dig in, sir, please.
I'm waiting for an explanation.
I didn't think you'd be back till morning.
And why not?
I thought you were praying with the vicar.
I was.
What happened?
He died.
Oh.
Yes, it certainly is. I've lost a good paying patient.
Well, your loss is...
How did you know I was with the vicar?
Mrs. Hockett told me.
I left Mrs. Hockett changing into her nightdress to go to bed.
She's still in it, sir. I knocked on the door to get in, you see, the front door. She came down in her nightdress and opened it for me.
What?
The front door.
You've been carrying on with my wife.
Now don't get excited.
What did you take from the drugs cupboard?
Nothing, honestly.
You are up to something, you treacherous youth.
No, no.
Simon, are you going to give me Angus?
Give her what, Dr. Sparrow?
Nothing, I'm not giving her anything.
Take that bottle out of your pocket, Doctor.
Ah, now I can explain this. I was just going to fix her up.
Fix her up? Give that bottle to me.
Seriously, you see, she couldn't sleep. And I thought just a small teaspoonful in her hot milk.
You lying scallywag.
It's a teaspoonful, sir.
So you were going to give that to my wife, were you? Well, I've asked you to read the label.
What? Yes, of course, sir, yes. Dr. Farmer's Female Fertility Foods. Well, it was very dark, you see. You can't see in the cupboard. There's a green bottle. You have a green bottle. It's a bit dark. You can't see it, sir. I must have... Dr. Benskin, please. Yes. Come on. Oh, hello, Tony. Simon. Aberdeen General Hospital. No, not on the staff. I'm a patient. I was with Dr. Hockett, and he chucked me through the living room window. He had a wife, you see, an alcoholic nymphomaniac. Yes. What do you mean some chaps get all the luck? Look, man, the point is I need a few quid to get back to London. Oh, smashing, thanks. Tony, before you go, Tony, yeah. Look, if you hear of any other jobs going, don't think of me. There's a good chap.
Ooh.
In that episode of Doctor at Large, written by Ray Cooney, the parts were played as follows. Simon Sparrow, Richard Bryars, Tony Benslin, Ray Cooney, Mrs. Russell, Joan Sanderson, with guest star Stanley Baxter as Dr. Hockett and Joan Sims as Dora. Doctor at Large was adapted from the original novel by Richard Gordon and produced by David Hatch.